are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That's right, you tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment. The time has just gone 11 o'clock. It is the third and final hour of the show. And right now we're going to be joined by Dr. / Pastor Watson. And very excited for this conversation that we're going to be having, because we're going to be looking at our daily focus. As you know, we're looking at barrenness this week. And we're going to be looking at essentially the balance between relying on faith and seeking medical intervention in context to fertility. Is a complex and personal journey for Christians, you know, and just looking at how that is for each Christian member and how you feel about it. And remember, if you want to like interact with us on that conversation, send through your comments to 073-470-3520 and be able to interact with Pastor Watson here as we go into this discourse. How are you doing today, Pastor Watson?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you? And greetings to all the listeners out there.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking out the time.
The honor is mine to be on AWR once more.
Well, thank you so much for joining us again today. Essentially, I was just giving in some context as to what we're going to be talking about, looking at the balance, you know, between relying on faith and seeking medical intervention, specifically looking at fertility. And then, you know, different individuals and Christians or Christian denominations may approach this balance in varied ways. And, you know, ethical conditions play a significant role in the decision-making process. So essentially, we want to explore some of these key points, essentially looking at how do Christians navigate the balance between relying on faith and seeking medical intervention when dealing with infertility or, you know, issues of barrenness or anything in relation to, like, for example, trying to, you know, medically have a surrogate. How do we deal with things like that in a Christian community?
Yes, this is, you know, the advances in technology and all modern forms of, you know, interventions, different forms of modern interventions bring so many solutions to ancient problems, but in the same process also raise new questions, especially with regards to ethics and in this context, with regards to faith and how we interact with all this, as you're rightly saying. So I think it is important for us to be grounded in the Word of God so that it remains the one that provides basis for what else it is that we may do. Yes, in other words, it should continue to guide us so that we are not just you know, following all the frontiers and advances in modern methods and technologies and so on. So the way to do that is really to be grounded in the Word of God and its principles with regards to questions and solutions that may be proffered by modern technologies.
So essentially looking at, let's bring it to a more practical sense then, before we get into this follow-up question. We have a dedicated Christian family here. They do everything from follow the health message to being part of the church in terms of, you know, community work or whatever the case may be. But they are struggling to have a child. Biblically, we have seen how, you know, the technological advancements were not necessarily per se as advanced as they are now. The process making of making a child would possibly be to go to the main servant or whoever the case may be. But in today's society, they can still, have a surrogate. Is having a surrogate in the Adventist church or according to the Bible a bad decision to make?
Well, these are questions that become deeply, personal. At a certain point, they become deeply personal to such an extent that they cannot be generalized, or we cannot have a one-size-fits-all approach for all church members, because people are at different stages of their spiritual development and growth and, you know, their walk with God, their maturity in spiritual things. So for that reason, the church is not given like a blanket to cover everybody.
Right.
But what I can say is that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has a position that is open for people to make their choice or their decision, having talked about it, having prayed about it. So it is possible to use interventions that and yet still remain or retain a good standing in terms of membership within the church. Where it becomes a challenge, it is a situation, for example, there are many people out there. Let me give an example of maybe ladies. A lady says here, I really would want to have a family and so on, but no one has been forthcoming or no one has been committed enough and so on. But I'm looking at my biological clock that is ticking, and I've had people come up to me as a pastor and asking, is there anything wrong if I look for ways, maybe let's say a sperm donor or something like that, I harvest my eggs, I have them frozen or something like that, and so on and so on, these kind of questions. But the understanding that we have is that when God gives an instruction for people to be fruitful and to multiply, he's addressing a couple. He's not addressing two singles or individuals. So there are two things that I've talked about there. Number one, for those that are married, which is the scenario that you gave, yes, there are interventions, modern interventions can be used. But for those that are not married and are seeking to use these interventions, we don't think the Word of God really gives us that kind of room. But even when we go back to those that are married, there are also a number of questions that might have to be answered or to be investigated. For example, with regards to IVF, as an example, because the understanding that may be there is that, or that we have, is that the moment fertilization takes place, life has begun. And sometimes there's fertilization of more than one egg, and eventually there has to be choice of which one is going to be to survive and so on. Now that raises serious ethical and spiritual questions. So what exactly are we doing to the rest of these ones, the lives that have already begun, which may have to be terminated or which are not preferred? So those are the questions now that have to be dealt with. And I think that they are quite challenging questions.
I was going to say, like, it's a very difficult position to be in my opinion, because now we are in a position where, you know, the question is then, do we trust God's plan instead of, or as opposed to taking more practical medical advices or interventions that are readily available to us? Or, like, is this where prayer plays a big role in our decision making, and how much so? Is it a situation where we find someone who's barren and we say, we'll rather pray for you than follow this medical advice? Or what, as you said, it's a deeply personal adventure. But to those going through it right now, what kind of advisory would you give in terms of following either God's idealistic plan, which you may assume is actually getting the medical advice? How do you differentiate between those?
Yes. Like I said at the beginning, it's not really easy, and one risks being overly general and not being sensitive to specific conditions and scenarios. These are decisions that are made, in a very personal way. But like I earlier said, we need to see that whatever it is that we are doing, we are still in line with the Word of God. So, for example, we find when one time the prophet Isaiah uses, some figs as a means of administering healing to King Hezekiah. And we read of the balm of Gilead. Gilead was known for this kind of plant, which was famous for its medicinal properties in Israel, which is referred to in the prophetic books. And we see Jesus using different means when he was healing people. Sometimes he's using saliva, sometimes he's making mud, and then, applying that to people's eyes. And so the different means that are being employed to bring about healing, which kind of like gives us a clue that the use of other means is not necessarily contrary to the Word of God. But it is when we get into a situation where, for example, someone is bringing a child into the world and there's no father around, who is that the ideal environment for this child? Well, that may be my desire as a parent, maybe as a mother, for those who are ladies. But is it necessarily the ideal situation for this child to grow up in? And it doesn't seem like the Bible really supports us when we go into that kind of practice. And if it is, for example, IVF, is it compatible with the biblical position or, instruction that we should not terminate human life? So if life has begun and we have to maybe terminate these six options and choose one, are we still within God's word? These are the questions. So we really need to be quite familiar, not only with the modern methods, but actually with the word of God and what it says. Because we then get into a thin, onto that thin line of crossing between, maybe sometimes compelling God. If it is going contrary to his word, we might be compelling God or forcing our way to do things that are contrary to God's will for our lives. But definitely not easy conversations.
And speaking on that thin line, consideration or, what should we ethically look at as important when exploring medical interventions for fertility? Are they the ones that you've mentioned already, or are they more that we should be, cognizant of?
Definitely, it requires a deeper understanding of what the interventions entail, what they are, what they entail, these interventions. And going back to the Bible, because, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What the Bible is telling us here is that many times we'll get into situations which are not quite clear, where things are not that obvious. It's dark. But you need a light. You need something that illuminates so that you can see. So what we need is familiarity with the Word of God. And thankfully, one of the resources that I alluded to when I said the Adventist Church has a position, this is Considerations on Assisted Human Reproduction. This is a document that was, or the position of the Adventist Church that was taken way back in 1994, 26 July. And so anyone can find it online. The title is Considerations on Assisted Human Reproduction. So this document is discussing these kind of questions and the different positions and the principles that should guide us when it comes to making this kind of choices or this kind of decisions. So it is a document that is readily and freely available both for Adventist members and non-Adventist members alike who may want to get some principles that assist us.
Well, if you just don't mind repeating where we can find that information again for us.
Okay, so it's just searching for, let me give the website. Okay, maybe the title. It is easier to search by title. Considerations on Assisted Human Reproduction.
Considerations on assistance human reproductions. Okay, perfect.
Yes, on assisted human reproductions.
All right.
And yes. So it it then gives us a number of principles
to that follow when I'm going by.
Yeah, to follow when I'm making these decisions.
Right, and you know, with that, how do you navigate concerns related to sanctity or morality? Would this book specifically help with that, or is it just your moral compass and in relation to your relationship with God and how you translate this information for yourself? Because that's something you mentioned earlier on, you know, that, you know, these situations are very personal and individualistic, and we need a lot of contextual understanding. But is there like a standard rule, or just as individualistic as they are, is the choices that are made, are they just as individualistic?
So, yes, you know, for example, when we read from the Bible, because the Bible does not address, for example, directly some of the questions that we have, although it gives us principles that would apply to different kinds of situations, new situations that we face. But when Abraham was looking for an option to solve the challenge of, you know, the barrenness that they were facing in the family, God's insistence or God's word would say, "This the child I'm talking about will come from your own body, from your own body," which then goes on to tell us here that maybe when we begin to go beyond our own bodies or the bodies of those that are within the marriage relationship, probably we are stretching it. In as much as we may be desperate or we may be have a strong need or urge, we are probably going beyond what God has planned for us. Because having a child is one thing. I think the other consideration is having a child is one thing. But what kind of child and what's going to happen and everything else and so on is quite another. And would need God's blessing every step of the way. The truth of the matter is that we need to come to the reality, or to maybe to accept the difficult reality, that not everyone is going to get everything that they need in this life, including having children. One time Jesus talks about people that are barren because of other people, and he also mentions that there are those who are eunuchs because of God, which means God is in his own sovereignty and in unsearchable ways has decided that maybe I'm not going to be a parent, difficult as it might be for me to understand. Just like he decided, for example, with the prophet Jeremiah, that he was not going to get married. It was God's decision. Jeremiah actually wanted to get married, but God told him, "No, you're not going to get married." Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. He prayed about it 3 times until God says, "Enough of this. You are not going to pray about this anymore. I have said no." So that is the reality. And when that happens, and if and when that happens, we have to pray that God's grace will be sufficient for us, lest we really go through life sorrowing over one thing or another when it was really not in God's plan for us to do that. So I think we need to consider all these kind of things and bring them into bearing when we are considering the issue of infertility. About 11% of couples in the world face the situation of barrenness.
That's a large number of people, you know, to be considering. And I think it's a very difficult conversation that we're having right now, because I fully hear you, you know, Pastor Watson, but I am also just sitting here as a young woman. I've never really particularly seen myself as a person who would have children of my own. Perhaps I would adopt, but I know a lot of like friends and family members that I have who have had several miscarriages and are just ready for that point where, you know, medical intervention can take over. And I don't know. It's such a tricky conversation that we're having here today, to be quite frank
with you. It sure is. It sure is. It has many slippery slopes, you know. You can easily go in a wrong direction. And, you know, sometimes unintentionally, you may say something that is quite hurtful to someone who's really facing a difficult situation. So, and you can overgeneralize in a situation like this. Usually some of these cases would need to be addressed one-on-one because there are nuances and differences that and peculiarities that people face in their individual circumstances.
Anyway, you know, I think this conversation can go on for a lot longer, and I think it needs a panel, you know.
That's very true, like a
group of people so that this can be discussed. But nevertheless, thank you so much for trying to battle this conversation with me today, Pastor Watson. And we look forward to continuing our discussion on barrenness throughout the week from tomorrow. But for today, thank you so much for joining us and have a blessed day.
A blessed day to you too. And kind regards to everyone who's listening, AWR.
Amen and amen. That was our pastor/ Dr. Watson on the line, essentially giving us some insight as to the balance between faith and medicine when it comes to fertility. What a difficult conversation. If you missed out on it, you can catch it on the podcast on our website as well as our AWR app. Remember that if you have any comments on this topic or you feel as though, you know, maybe some questions were left out or perhaps you have some insight to the topic yourself, send those through to 073-470-3520. But for right now, we're going to take a short interval. When we come back from it, we're going to be getting into our devotional series for today. So do not go anywhere. We're almost coming to the close of our show here on Mid-Morning Empowerment. But we are going to be together again tomorrow from 9 to 12 midday. But for right now, stay tuned. We're going to have a break.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.